From Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Laura Camrath and Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Big Ideas Small Business. A little bit of technical difficulty this morning or this afternoon, so thanks for, depending on where you are in the world. So thanks for bearing with us.
Ooh, hey. So we're all sorted out now.
Yeah, we were talking about 10 minutes, hoping that people were watching us and nobody was listening. So what we started with was we didn't do our podcast last week because Laura was in Orlando.
Yeah. For an awesome workshop for entrepreneurs that was put on by a company called Red Elephant. And Red Elephant, they started out kind of as an events company, but they now coach entrepreneurs in how to use speaking to grow your business. And they also have some other interesting coaching workshops that they do. And this particular one was on how to basically develop and launch a product in record time, and the idea of it was to kind of illustrate the fact that you can launch and sell a product really quickly. And so I was with a team of five, and we actually launched a product at a price point of $37, and within 18 hours we had launched it and sold 17 of them. And by the end of the first day that the product was for sale, we'd sold 20 of them at $37 a piece. And of course, the product didn't even exist yet, so we're still looking at how to manufacture the product.
Oh dear.
but we're on top of that. So it's the product was bath bombs. It was truth bombs for the emboldened woman, and we were piggybacking off the hashtag Me Too movement with Oprah Winfrey and you know, all of that in the news. And so a couple of ladies in my group came up with the truth bombs idea, and apparently it went over quite well because we sold more products than any other team at the workshop. So
good. Well, that sounds like a pretty meaningful exercise. Last week I was at the Nationals Achievers Conference, which was a conference that featured some really terrific speakers. It was really inspiring. Robert and Barbara from Shark Tank, both of which who were terrific and have amazing stories. Then at some point George W. Bush rolled out, which I don't care where you stand politically, somebody who spent 8 years in the office of the president in that seat certainly has some interesting perspective. And then it went into Gary Vaynerchuk, and we're going to look at his book a little bit later. It just came out last Tuesday, Crushing It. Already crushed it. And then they wrapped up with Mike Rowe. Now, the one thing I will caution you, this NAC, National Achievers Conference, it's a little scammy. So they have they take these terrific speakers, and then they sell spots, 1 hour spots, where they come in and there's a guy that positions how to make it in the real estate industry shortcuts and buy our class, or I think there was make big in the stock market through our class, and the last one was wealth coach. And so those were really, really obnoxious, but they sold. It was unbelievable to watch how many people went up and signed up for these things after these guys positioned them. But it's I guess my point is that this conference, they don't give you an agenda, should be your first key that, you know, there's going to be some sales pitches in there. And then they inspire you with these great speakers, and then the suckers go up and sign for these programs. Now, I hope that those are legitimate and they help some of these people succeed. But not for me. So if you go to this conference, I would definitely expect to take about 3 hours, maybe go with a couple people you network with, and then go outside of the arena and have a meeting and use your time that way.
Yeah. So I actually had a ticket to that conference, but unfortunately, well, not so unfortunately, but I was moving on that day. I was moving house, and for anyone who's ever moved house, it's not a whole lot of fun. So I would have much rather been at the conference. I actually went to it several years ago, and I had kind of the same experience. It was inspiring, but it did seem kind of like for the masses, just a big kind of citywide type thing. So, but it was, you know, I would have liked to go.
Yeah, I'm glad I did it. So today, Laura, I want to talk about Laura Kamrath, the personal brand of Laura Kamrath and Brian Gendron, you know, some of the strategies that we've had in growing our personal brand, mostly, you know, kind of through the online channels that are available to us that are still way underpriced. I mean, the cost to get followers and Instagram and Facebook is hard work in a lot of cases, but, you know, it's free to get that exposure. So tips and tricks around that. And
yeah, I mean, I think the topic of personal branding is really interesting. And I think for a lot of people, and, you know, I've watched panels on this. I saw a panel at Rice University Business School talking about personal branding. And it's actually amazing how varied the opinions are from people about what personal branding is, how people should conduct themselves in a personal way around their business. And, you know, what matters, what doesn't matter. And I think the interesting point is that each of those people's individual opinions is part of their personal brand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much disclosure about your personal life do you give on social media? Do you become friends with people you work with on social media or not? Do you join groups from your personal Facebook, you know, for business or not? You know, how much do people you work with know about your personal life or who you are?
So can I tell you my opinion on all that? I think that you, by not doing those things, by not exposing yourself online, by you're holding yourself back, and a part of your story as a person in business is where you came from and who you are. And if you don't feel like you can be authentic about who you are as a person, you're going to struggle. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think that you're going to struggle in business. And so I would recommend, from my perspective, I think you absolutely want to blur those lines between, you know, make, you know, Facebook friends, share everything you can, be strategic about it, but, you know, don't think too much about it. Your story is your story. And you either made some mistakes, and everybody has, and you've learned from them, and it's actually really humbling, and people respect if you share those mistakes and share that you've learned from them. So I'm always on the side of share everything, and, you know, don't hold back because you're holding yourself back.
Yeah. Now, I think that's interesting because I would say that that is part of your personal brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say you know, my personal brand is similar. I'm very open on social media. I will friend people who are business contacts. I'm not ashamed of my activities. I'm not trying to hide anything from people on Facebook. I am who I am.
Right.
And I think when you think of it from that standpoint, you know, that's part of why people work with me, and that's probably why people work with you too. And I think that for some people that may not be the right approach. And, you know, I've talked to some people and they, you know, that depending on what industry you're in, depending on what business you're in,
mm-hmm.
For some people, you know, their opinion is, you know, I could get fired if people know what I'm doing at home.
Sure. So then I guess my question is, how happy can you be under those circumstances? Because now you're allowing your career to hold back from who you truly are. You see what I mean? Now, I do understand, like, when I say personal brand, you know, we're entrepreneurs, we're business owners, and so our brand is, in many ways, our company and vice versa. But in a lot of industries, and this is kind of what you're saying, and not all industries, you can start your own blog, industry-specific blog, and in my opinion, for the most part, companies would be stupid not to let you be known as an expert, because then you're kind of an intrapreneur into that company, right? And you're giving valuable content that attracts people to that business. So I guess one of the things I want to share was that if you work for somebody else and you're okay with that and you love what you do, there's still an opportunity for you to have a voice in your industry and create your own personal brand while working for somebody else.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is some companies strictly don't allow that. And I think that's a foul on those companies. And if it was, I was in that situation, I'd have to find a new company to work for. Barring you work for the government and you work for, you know, a government agency that CIA, right? That's an exception, but.
Yeah. For example, my sister works for a government agency and she's not even allowed to bring her cell phone into the facility. It has to stay in the car.
Mm-hmm.
So there are various industries and, you know, personal branding applies to you whether you're an entrepreneur, an employee, a small business owner,
hobbyist. You know,
every human being has a personal brand. Personal brand is really, who are you? Like what is the perception that people have of you?
And the perception you have of yourself too. Yeah. That goes into it as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and every person has a personal brand, and the personal brand that you have is made up of, all aspects of yourself. It doesn't just have to do with your business. It doesn't just have to do with your career. It's... Are you on time? Do you come into meetings late? Do you love football? Are you college educated or a PhD? Are you,
mm-hmm.
It's everything about you that gives people the perception of who you are and what you do.
Yeah, and that group that you were with last week, storytelling, I think, was that not one of the things that you guys went over? One of the things that always impresses me with people who I believe have a strong personal brand is that they know their story and that there's adversity in their story. And if you can't believe, everybody has faced some level of adversity. I mean, we're here in America. I'm a white male in America. I mean, I hit the lottery on that on Earth. I mean, there's, how much, you know, easier could things be? But I still faced a lot of adversity and a lot of challenges. And you need to figure out what those are and build those into your story. And you'd be surprised how much you gain as far as respect from the people that you're speaking to and self-awareness.
Yeah.
And also another thing is know your blind spots. So, get out there where your weaknesses are. If you have people that work for you or work with you, you know, otherwise they're going to be talking about it in the parking lot. Wouldn't you rather have that out in front and be able to say, hey, I'm not good at this. But I'm working on it and maybe get some feedback on how you can get better. Or it's not worth my time to work on the skill and I'm never going to know it. And that's just me. Mm-hmm. You get that a lot. You get that a lot with technology and older people. Right? I'm not going to learn that. And that can be okay. I'm going to get left behind a little, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So have you got a tech for granted today, Brian?
I do. I'm going to punt tech for granted. After the thought leadership, that's okay. So the thought leadership I wanted to share, I mentioned him earlier, Gary Vaynerchuk was in town, absolutely one of my favorites. In fact, that's kind of where this personal branding idea came from when I shared that we would, when I asked if that would be okay, and mm-hmm. Laura has some good opinions there. So Gary's latest book came out last Tuesday. It's called Crushing It, and it's, I guess, the sequel to his 2009 book called Crush It. Mm-hmm. And that was just sort of a play-by-play, how to build your personal brand, how to take your hobby into a actual business. And it's, in my opinion, it's fairly brilliant, and it was really, anybody could do it, and it was the right place at the right time. You know, use Twitter, use Facebook, use Instagram, use all these things that are free and undervalued and still are to build your brand and do what you love. Mm-hmm. So these guys, he was spot on, and it comes from the same time period of like Tim Ferriss, you know, 10-hour work week or 4-hour work week 10 years ago, excuse me. Eric Ries, the Lean Startup, all these guys were innovating, and now they're all releasing like their newest books. So they've stayed relevant because they knew what they were talking about. So what Gary did with Crushing It was he kind of updated it because some of the platforms might have changed. Audio is a big thing. We're going to talk about Alexa in a little bit. Live video, that wasn't around in 2009 like it is today. So he's updated the technologies. But the cool part, Laura, he's also shared stories of people that went out, got his book, went out and started and made careers out of these hobbies and out of these their passions, and emailed Gary, and so he's included them in this book. So it's very inspiring, but also very relevant and up to date. So Crushing It by Gary Vaynerchuk just came out last Tuesday, and I cranked it out. I got it Sunday, and so just in a couple of days, so it's pretty quick and easy read.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Have you heard of Gary? Read any of his stuff?
I've heard of him, but I don't know a whole lot about myself.
Okay, I'm gonna give you some stuff. Okay. We'll get you hooked.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I did, to your question earlier, I do have a tech for granted. I want to talk about Alexa from Amazon, and more specifically Alexa Skills, but maybe we could zoom in a little bit. I know we're worried about battery life, but just voice in general. How much are you using voice today?
You know, I honestly don't use it a whole lot. I do use it on my Apple TV at home when I'm searching for a movie or something. You know, last night I was searching for Mad Dogs on Amazon Prime, and I just went to the search and just held it down and said Mad Dogs, and of course then it comes up and I just selected. But I don't have, you know, AI at home like tucking me into bed or anything like that. So.
Right. It's interesting because you ask 10 people that question, and right now you get 10 different answers, it seems like. You know, everybody's using these technologies for different things. People have different flavors of it, but is it not fairly obvious that this is going to change our lives in a kind of a big way? Take Alexa. We've got Alexa at our home, and right now I've got it set up. It's an Amazon product, so it's Amazon Prime, Amazon Now. I need toothpaste, right? Mm-hmm. And so if I need toothpaste now, 4 seconds, I can order it from the shower. I want you to rewind, because it's in the bathroom, right? I want you to rewind to 1992. Yeah. Lauren, you run out of toothpaste. Now you got to go to the pharmacy. You got to go look for the toothpaste. You got to get it. You got to get back to your house and brush your teeth.
Well, now I actually live behind a Walgreens, so I can just step out my front door.
But still, that is true, and that sounds like a good move, I guess, or at least convenient. But, I mean, 4 seconds to even 10 minutes, right? Yeah. I mean, just think about that time savings, and then just think about multiplying that out times everything that we do, including – the phones, right? I mean, just we type in these little, like, they're tiny, and we got to read tiny, right? Now we just talk to it, and you said you use the Siri app quite a bit. So I have not adopted Siri too much. In fact I turned it off, which is kind of ignorant of me, because here I am, you know, on my soapbox talking about how voice is going to change everything. One thing I want to talk about was Alexa Skills. So they've opened up their API in Amazon developers. Not for me, but if you are a developer and you're thinking about ways that Amazon Voice can change how we live, work, play, they have an opportunity for you to create something, and they'll give you Amazon credits for it. So that's pretty interesting. And then, of course, you know, bigger scale, if you're an inventor, and of course you can already get the light bulbs and control your light bulb voice, and you can do some pretty neat stuff, but there's still a lot of room for entrepreneurs and creative engineering to make these make voice really change how we live.
I was talking to a friend of mine who's a school teacher recently, and she was saying how, like, all the kids have bots now, and that, you know, that's a thing. I'm like, I can't even imagine, you know, that's like Star Trek to me or something. It's becoming more and more the reality. And I was listening to some podcast about, you know, how bots will offer companionship in the future. And, you know, I guess when you're home alone, you can have a conversation, or they know when you're upset. And, you know, so that's really interesting. I'm interested to see where all that goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, we're in a time where you're never really alone anymore, right? Yeah. When you start to feel lonely, you pick up that phone.
Does that start to get creepy though? Like,
I agree.
Who's listening in?
Today it seems creepy, but it's just the way the world's going, and you can either fight it and get left behind, or you kind of keep moving with it. And I mean, all this stuff is creepy. The fact that people can watch us right now from our phone or a little camera would have been really creepy to us you know, to go live like this and, you know, expose ourselves to potentially millions of people someday. Not yet. Tell your friends. So, I mean, yeah, you just got to roll with it. The one thing I was thinking about, it's kind of silly, but, you know, Amazon Alexa doesn't listen until you say Alexa. So I was at, we had our Super Bowl party, and I'm like, okay, anytime we anybody talked about Alexa in the room, and we're like, we were giving feedback. Alexa is good. Alexa is bad. Are they collecting that information and using that to change their product? It's, you know, collecting that information at scale. It's an interesting thought. Yeah. So
it's kind of funny too, because I mean, Alexa and Siri and every, you know, bot out there is programmed by humans. So
right.
You know, I guess when Siri first came out, they had some weird stuff. You could actually ask Siri, like, where should I hide the body? And it would tell you,
right.
Like, you know, how to get to a trash dump or something.
That's it.
And they, you know, I guess they wouldn't change that. But
so you can do, and that's what I'm, that's Amazon skills. If Laura, if we wanted to, after this, go into my office and start creating some skills, we can figure it out and create some pretty funny things if we wanted to, and
like
submit them.
Yesterday, I wanted to watch this documentary on the history of the toilet yesterday, which is kind of a funny thing.
It's very strange.
But I wanted to watch it. I was like, that's kind of weird and interesting. And so I used Siri to try to search for the documentary, and I guess I hadn't gone into the search area. I forgot to go into the search. I was just in the regular, like, scrolling area. Mm-hmm. And I just said toilet, and Siri said, I'm sorry, you can't do that here.
Oh man. Well, and they got jokes too, so
yeah. I was like Siri, I'm just trying to find a documentary.
Yeah. But yeah, as an entrepreneur, think about that, what that opportunity might lay for your business, or if you're a programmer, what you can do to have fun, like Laura was just talking about with her toilet story. And then as the consumer, oh man, think about how much time you can save. And really, as the entrepreneur, how you need to save time. Think about all the time you can cut out. You know, toothpaste is a silly example, but I mean, it's just about everything. You know, turn your oven on the way home and have it cook your meal by the time you get there. Or I mean, it's all, you know, on your phone, voice activated. Oh, and no texting and driving. Use your voice.
It'll
like just
be like Alexa, walk my dog.
That exists. You can get WAG through Alexa. So my point is, as a consumer, make sure you line up all the things that make your life easier. Order your Uber. That all gets done today. That's available today. So talk to your house and have it do all your shit for you. It's that straightforward. Awesome. So, all right. Well, I guess we should wrap up, Laura. Sorry for anybody who joined us earlier. We had some technical difficulties. We're in a new studio, if you can call it that. So we'll try to work through those and make this a little better next time. But awesome. Yeah, anything else?
No, I think that's it. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Laura. Now go out and close some business.
Central Texas rains, the strongest drink I've found.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media and visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.